gmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. There's about 400 people that I know that their birthday is today. And so one of them happens to be a beautiful young lady that I love very much. She's my daughter. And so there's a few other people that I know that today is their birthday as well. And so a little bit of an atypical greeting this morning. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. And if you are just now discovering this, I'm just a little bit atypical. I'm not the normal radio program where you're just going to be hearing the sermons that I preached on Sunday morning broadcast. I just do what comes natural for me, and that's kind of talking to people. I'm even the guy that'll strike up a conversation with the, oh, he doesn't do that, does he? The elevator. It's like, hey, you know, we might as well have something to say. We're going to be in here for, you know, some elevators are pretty quick. Some of them are pretty slow, but I'm thankful every time I can get on one, get off of one. And if we get to have a conversation, that's all the better. So pray you're having a great day. Today we are going to be going into the Word of God. We're going to be in the book of Isaiah chapter 45. We're going to start there. We're going to go through this. There's a couple of spiritual truths that we're going to talk about as we make our way through this passage. But there's a lot more to unpack than just those two statements. And so I'm going to work my way through here and pray that this will be a blessing to you. I want to take just a moment to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. They are based in Rockledge, Florida, where they have been serving for over 40 years. They have been helping people with their residential air conditioning and electrical issues, light commercial settings, even emergency service when necessary. If here in about 2 months, if your air conditioner goes out, that's an emergency. It's just really, really uncomfortable. In fact, I know somebody who recently their AC went out and it's not even that hot yet. So you need to have a good AC person. Wyrick Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H. They've been providing professional sales, services, and repairs in heating, air conditioning, and electrical fields for over four decades now. They strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So before you find yourself in need of their services, write this number down, 321-632-9538. If today's the day that you find yourself in need of their services, call them, 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that will be a blessing to us. They are a blessing to the body of Christ. They're a blessing if you need air conditioning. They're a blessing if you've got electrical issues. And so I know that they will be a blessing in your life as well. With that being said, let's go to Isaiah, the 45th chapter today. I'm not going to be able to read the whole chapter today. It's 25 verses. So we're going to read probably the first seven verses, and we'll see how far we get on that today. Verse number one says, "Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting, that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. So, what I'd like to share with you today is somewhat disconcerting to people who do not believe that there is a God. There's a large segment of people who believe that everything that we see is just haphazard. It just happened by accident, that there was just a whole bunch of nothing that came together, and out of all of the chaos, and suddenly there was a power surge. There was a reaction amongst the nothingness, and all of a sudden everything swam, and there's order, and the fragility of life that just came into existence, even though with all of the efforts of mankind, they have not been able to duplicate that effort thus far. There's just a lot of people that have way more faith in accidents than I do. I tell you where I put my faith. I put my faith and trust in God. And the God that I serve has always been God, will always be God, and is currently God. And so this particular passage somewhat intimidates unbelievers, because it shows a little bit of just a small glimpse of the omniscience of God and the power of God to bring things to pass and to make it to happen. So this passage is written to a king of the Medes and Persians. His name was Cyrus. Cyrus was the one who came and dethroned the Babylonians, which was the most powerful nation on the earth at the time. Nebuchadnezzar had come in and carried off the children of Judah, and there was a 70-year captivity. And this passage, Isaiah chapter 45, is written before they're carried off into captivity. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah gives you the timeline of his ministry. Okay, verse number 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So Hezekiah was not the last king of Israel. He was not king when the children of Israel were carried off into captivity. Josiah was his great-grandson, I believe, if I've got that right, as far as my genealogies go. And he wasn't the last king. He led Judah in a great revival, but he was not the last king. But it wasn't long after that the Babylonians came in and started to make their presence known. So what we're talking about in Isaiah chapter 45 is a declaration, a prophetic word that comes from God to a prophet in Judah concerning a guy that has not even been born yet and who's not Jewish, by the name of Cyrus. And he talks about the things that he's going to return to Jerusalem before they've ever departed from Jerusalem. When the Bible says that God causes kingdoms to rise and fall, understand what it means, that God causes kingdoms to rise and fall. And when that happens, it doesn't matter if you're the richest nation or if you're the most militaristic nation on earth. It doesn't matter if you're the most technologically advanced society on earth or not. God's timeline is going to take place. So I don't really get too caught up in the specifics of the timeline, because I know who holds the timeline. Okay? But I will tell you that when you realize that decades, just think of it in these terms. If decades before you were born, God called you by name and told you what your life purpose was going to be and how he was going to use you for your glory, how incredible would that be? Well, if you don't believe in God, that's terrifying, because that's evidence that counterattacks your view of humanity. All of a sudden, that means that mankind does not sit on the throne of his own existence, but God does. Well, here's a reality for you. God sits on the throne of everything. Everything. So, let's look at verse number one again. Thus says the Lord to his anointed. Now, I'm thankful for the anointing of God. Their anointing was anointed with oil. Gethsemane was known as the olive press. It was where olive oil was made. And so we just came through the Easter season here. And so anointing was something that would take place if you were going to be a priest or if you were going to be a king. Here, this is a title. Jesus is known as the Anointed One. He's both prophet, priest, and king. He's the Son of the living God. But here we find out that God has an anointing for a king over a kingdom called the Medes and the Persians. This wasn't even an immediate neighbor of Israel. If you look in Daniel chapter 4, you would find that Nebuchadnezzar was influenced by Daniel while Daniel was carried away as a captivity into Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar came to a personal realization of who God was. I want you to understand the global scope of God's sovereignty. So he says, you're anointed. Now, the Bible talks about those anointed. He also says, do my anointed ones no harm. And if you look at that passage, I believe that it's talking about not just a person who holds an office, but the fact that they're God's people. And so I want you to recognize that God wants you anointed. If you have ever tried to run a car without oil that functions as a barrier so that friction does not build up between the moving elements inside the engine, and that's about as far as my automotive knowledge is going to get you, you're going to find out that without oil, that engine is going to have some problems. I make this statement a lot. Life is hard. Life without Jesus is harder. Life without the Holy Spirit is hard. And so we want the anointing of God. And here he says to Cyrus that he refers to him as his anointed one. So I wanted to find out, you know, what the meaning of that name was. It's a Persian name. It's not a Jewish name. And so I had to look for some other sources to see if I could find the meaning of the name. And one of them makes a lot of sense, and that's S-U-N, it's the sun that he brings light to the world and things like that. And you would find that a lot of ancient civilizations, that their kings were kind of viewed upon with the same sort of power as the sun. It's like the preeminent person and the preeminent body in the heavenlies. There was one that I found kind of interesting. I actually laughed when I read this, and that was that it means the humiliator of an enemy in verbal contest. In other words, if you were in a debate with Cyrus, you were not just going to lose, you were going to be humiliated by the verbal supremacy of Cyrus. This is a person that is set up for victory, no matter what stage they found themselves on. This was the one that captured my attention the most. And it says this, that Cyrus means one who bestows care. One who bestows care. There's an old saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I will tell you that providing care is something that is very underrated, but it's very important. I may be speaking to some caretakers out there. Maybe you are a caretaker by profession. You go to a job and you provide biological care, hygienic care to people who are in full-time residence homes. And I bless you today in the name of Jesus, because I know from personal awareness how demanding that job can be physically, how you deal with things that other people don't want to deal with, are not equipped to deal with, and you do your job in such a way that you help to maintain the dignity of the people that you are taking care of. So if you're a professional caregiver today, I bless you in the name of Jesus. But I would say that for every caregiver there is on a professional basis, that there are probably many more people who are caregivers and they don't do it on a professional level. You do it because you love someone. It may be a mother who's caring for a child. It may be a spouse and you're having to provide care for your spouse. Wherever you are in that process, I want to bless you today in the name of Jesus. And I also want to tell you this. Please make sure that as you are taking care of other people, that you do not forget to take care of yourself. If you get on an airplane, it sounds counterintuitive to what our natural response would be, but they will make this announcement. In the unlikely event that the cabin loses pressure and the oxygen masks fall from the ceiling, remember to put your mask on first and then put the mask on your loved one. And the reason for that is if you're giving care to someone, you need to be able to put that mask on them. And that the only way that you can do that is if you've got your mask on already. If you try and flip that script and you don't get yours on and you pass out, then you're both in trouble. So don't forget to take care of yourself. And I also want to say this. Don't forget to take care of yourself spiritually. Physical care is one thing, but there are a lot of pastors out there. If you're a minister and listening to me, I want to bless you today in the name of Jesus as well, because we are assigned the task of caring for the sheep. Now, we're not the chief shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. We're just the under shepherds, but we are called to provide care. If you're a husband today, you are called to care for your family. There's a lot of various roles where we are called upon to bestow care, and that's what Cyrus. That was one of the three definitions for Cyrus's name that I found. So Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 1 says, "To Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, to loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut." So he tells Cyrus, he says, first of all, I know when you're going to appear on the global stage. I know you by name. I know the anointing that I've placed upon your life. I know the purpose that I have placed upon your life, and I'm not going to have you do it alone. I'm going to hold your hand throughout the process. I don't know how that makes you feel today, but I am so grateful to know that Jesus promised he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. He's not standing off in the shadows watching and seeing if you're going to make a mistake. No, he's holding us by the hand during that time. I'm so thankful for that privilege in relationship. So with my wife's medical progress over the last several months, there have been a number of times when we've been walking as she's been getting stronger and stronger. And there would be times that she would just reach out and grab me. She would grab me by the arm. She would grab me by the hand. There was one time where she grabbed me and she got me on the inner part of the bicep, but she didn't get the whole bicep. And I said, you know, honey, I'm here for your stability. Would you mind grabbing a little lower down on the arm so you don't pinch my fat? And I understood what she was doing when she was reaching for me, and that was she was using me to help stabilize her as she was journeying. Well, I've got good news for you. Even before you think you might be losing your balance, Jesus has a hold of you. God has you by the right hand. He's not going to let you go. He says, I have held you for the right hand, and I've done it for a purpose. And there's just four things that we're going to try and communicate here in the last 6 minutes or so. And the first one is to subdue nations before him. I've held you, whose right hand I've held, to subdue nations before him. Doesn't matter if it's the most powerful nation on earth, like Babylon was. It doesn't matter if it's a nation that no one's ever heard of before. I'm going to position you in a place of victory. And so as you are going about your day today, I want to remind you of a few things. God knows when you were going to come on the global stage, just like Cyrus. He knows your name. He knows the anointing that he's placed upon your life. He knows the care that you're going to bestow. He knows where you are and is holding you in steadiness and in strength, and he wants to position you for victory in Jesus' name. It says to loose the armor of kings. One of my favorite passages, not one of the greatest biblical characters around, but there was a guy who was challenging this one king in battle, and he said, let him who puts his armor on not boast as the one who takes his armor off. When you take your armor off, that's because you've come out of the battle, you've been victorious in the battle, and now you're shifting from one focus to another focus. He said, to loose the armor of kings. Well, in that context, that means that he's been victorious over those kings, and he's come along to loosen the armors because they, by the way, Cyrus treated the people that he conquered. He even treated the kings with a great deal of respect. It says, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. So we're going to talk about these last two things here, just kind of together here. And that is this. When I think about the open door, I think about the passage that says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up your heads, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Now, I know Cyrus is not the King of glory. God says, I'm going to open doors for you, doors that people have closed before you, but I'm going to cause those doors to be opened so that you can go in. He says, it's not going to be a tight fit. I'm going to fling it open wide. And so I pray that God opens doors for you, whether it's professionally, whether it's financially, whether it's ministry-wise or relationship-wise. I pray that he throws those doors open very, very wide. It goes on and it says, so that the gates will not be shut. So that the gates will not be shut. If you are interested in helping with the Assemblies of God ministry to refugees in the Ukraine, I want to encourage you. If you want, you can make a donation at Merit Assembly of God. We've got an organization that is actively providing humanitarian packages to all of the millions of refugees who've been displaced over there. The reason that I put that in this context is we've got to be able to walk through the door while it is open. And we've been blessed with several decades of being able to have ministry in what used to be closed countries, but who knows how long those doors are going to be open. I will tell you this, so that the gates will not be shut. Jesus said this, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And gates don't move. A lot of times we think that that means that wherever we are at, that the gates might try and fling open and hit us in the nose or whatever. And it's kind of a flawed mental picture, because the truth of the matter is gates were there as a defensive mechanism, not an offensive mechanism. And so the message to Cyrus is, I'm going to lead you victoriously. I'm going to open doors before you that the enemy has shut, but I'm going to cause those doors to be flung open in such a capacity that they will not be able to be shut. In other words, those gates are going to be rendered useless. So if you are in a situation where, you know, you feel like you're kind of stuck and you're not advancing in your relationship with God, I just want to remind you about Cyrus today, that God just didn't know what was happening in the nation of Judah. He knew what was happening internationally. He not only knew what was happening now, he knew what was going to happen in the future. And he set Cyrus up personally to be victorious. And he didn't love Cyrus one bit more than he loves you. He will set you up for success. Hold his hand. Walk with him. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.